You know, 10 months ago, we made a decision to redefine our direction. We knew there would be ups and downs this season. We knew that we would encounter some things that were going to be difficult, and we did. With that said, I think we're in a better place today than we were at this time last year. And I think we have an opportunity to grow as an organization starting today.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
Levine, he goes right. Oh!
Stop it, Sampson! Did you not get the memo?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
Here's Enes Kanter, what are you doing? The finisher in New York City.
Your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
We're going to preach patience. Doesn't mean we're not going to be looking for ways to get better, but a lot of it's going to come internally. We need Zach LaVine to be a better basketball player. Chris Dunn to come back a better player. Lauri Markkanen, Bobby Portis, you go down the line. They have to put in the time, and confident that they will.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Like I said at the beginning, I feel better today about our direction and our position than I did a year ago.
Locked On Bulls. Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. I'm your host, Jordan Malley, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and College Hoops over at SB Nation. Along with me is Matt Peck, writer of Bulls basketball in the NBA at LockedOnBulls.com and host of the 312 show on AM 1590 WCGO in Chicago. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls, and subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Our text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369, less than 30 days from the first preseason game for the Chicago Bulls. We want to hear from you. You've got questions, you've got comments on the upcoming training camp, preseason about to start less than a month away. We want to hear from you. So hit us up, 331-979-1369. Our Bowling with Bobby Portis event is this Saturday. Yes, that's this Saturday at King's Dining and Entertainment, 2 to 6 p.m. You can get your tickets at eventbrite.com. Search Bowling with Bobby or Locked On Bulls. Be able to find our tickets right there. Otherwise, go to hit us up on Facebook or Twitter at Locked On Bulls, and you'll be able to find an easy path for tickets there. So multiple ways to get your tickets. Make sure you do that today, though. Tickets are available still throughout the week. This Saturday, Bowling with Bobby Portis at Kings in Lincoln Park. Should be a great time. We're super excited about that. Super excited to see Bobby and hopefully a few others as well at that event. It's going to be a great time. Bulls fans everywhere are going to be there. And overall, I think this is going to turn out to be a great event. So we'd love to see you. Once again, eventbrite.com. Search Bowling with Bobby or Locked On Bulls to get your tickets today. Matt, welcome back from the long weekend. Thanks for holding things down. Hopefully you had a great Labor Day weekend, and hopefully it was made even better by the Bears acquiring Khalil Mack. That was a highlight, I think, for a lot of Chicago sports fans out there this weekend.
Yeah, I've still got a little bit of a Khalil Mack hangover, 2 days into the week. But obviously very stoked about that. I'm getting more and more excited about that Bears-Packers season opener week one at Lambeau Sunday Night Football. I mean, you can't ask for a more exciting way to kick off a Bears football season than that. And to that end, definitely, if you aren't listening to Locked On Bears and you are a diehard Bears fan, go listen to Locked On Bears. Lauren Cox doing a great job over there getting Bears fans ready for the season. And speaking of that Bobby Portis event, a quick shout out to one of the friends of the pod, Wesley, who has a great Bulls Instagram account that you should be following. He's helping us promote the Bobby event on Instagram. Be sure to check out at Chicago Bulls Central on Instagram for the best Bulls content on the app. You'll find daily Bulls updates, rumors, stats, anything else Bulls related, once again, that's at Chicago Bulls Central on Instagram. We appreciate Wesley doing some promo stuff for the event for us on Instagram, and he does have just awesome content for Bulls fans on IG. So if you're not following him, give him a follow today.
Should be a lot of fun. Looking forward to seeing everybody on Saturday, as well as seeing Bobby Portis and maybe a few other Chicago Bulls there at that event. So make sure you get your tickets. 2 to 6 p.m. Saturday, Bowling with Bobby Portis. Excited for that. So with that,
you've been practicing, Jordan? You've been practicing?
Oh, I have.
Okay.
I'm sure Bobby has as well. So yeah.
What's your best score in the games that you've been just getting ready for the event?
173.
That's respectable.
Yeah, 173 was the best. I had a couple games where they were not so great, but it's like Bobby said, it's like riding a bike again. So after the first couple of games, you get warmed up. Then it gets back to what I used to do between 160. Like I said, if Bobby can hang around 160, 180, I think I'll be all right. Be able to hold my
own.
If he's hitting 190, 200, it's game
over.
Have
you found like a quiet, secluded bowling lane somewhere so that you can practice in peace and quiet without, you know, all sorts of pressuring eyes on you? I'm picturing you in like a deserted bowling alley somewhere, kind of like when Shooter McGavin goes off into the woods in Happy Gilmore to try to figure out how to do that Happy Gilmore long drive where he runs up to the ball. That's what I'm picturing, except instead of Shooter in the woods with a golf club and a golf ball, it's you on just a completely deserted bowling alley somewhere.
That's a pretty solid imagination you have there, and it's about right. That was about right. A lot of these bowling alleys are not, there's not a lot of people in there. If they don't have leagues, then it's pretty empty, but there's a bowling alley just up the road from my house. So yeah, it was pretty empty when I was in there before. So it's all right. Gives me a chance to have a little bit of concentration to understand what's at stake this Saturday. So should be a lot of fun, though. Whether or not I do end up beating Bobby, which would be up there with one of the greatest achievements, it's going to be a great time. We're going to have a chop talk with Bobby Portis, be able to talk to him about this upcoming season, kind of how he feels about his season coming up, what he thought about last year, and just ultimately where he sees things going with this Bulls team. So should be a lot of fun, and get some really good news from Bobby Portis too as well, and hopefully good conversation as well. Matt, today on today's show, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the Bulls promotions this past weekends, as far as their front office goes, as well as an interview Gar Forman did with a medical team on 670 The Score, and a few other notes too. But let's get to some of these promotions first right off the bat. I know you had touched on them on yesterday's episode, but one thing that I think I took away from this, more importantly, was two of the guys in the Bulls system that did get promotions this past weekend, one being Brian Hagan, associate general manager, and Steve Weinman, assistant general manager, both getting promotions. Those two guys are probably the biggest analytics guys in the Bulls front office, and that's good news. If you're a Bulls fan and you're somebody who believes the NBA, the modern NBA should be going to more heavily analytic following, and the way you're evaluating players should go more towards analytics than just the eye test, this means this is good news for the Bulls. I know the Bulls have gotten poked fun at over the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years about how small their analytics team was, and it wasn't compared to some of these other teams like the Golden State Warriors, who have like 40, 50 people a part of their analytics team, and the Bulls had like a handful of people. So these are good moves. I like these moves. I don't know about you and what you feel about it, if it doesn't really move the needle or not, but it's nice to see that guys in the system are actually analytic heavy, and those guys are getting promotions, and their decisions are going to be weighed heavier now.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens on that front if the Bulls actually do turn into a team that values analytics a little bit more than they have in recent years. I kind of touched on yesterday's show about just my initial reaction, which was that the biggest takeaway is that they are promoting people within their own organization. These are inside hires as opposed to outside hires, which kind of goes along with the narrative of the fact that this ownership group and the front office, the people running the front office, are kind of lazy in their job searches, whether it's their coaches or whether it's the people on their staff. But, you know, if it is these guys from within the organization that have been here for, you know, I think the person with the least tenure of the ones who were promoted last Friday has at least 5 or maybe even 6 years within the organization. So hopefully those in-house hires and promotions work out, and hopefully, as you said, that they do actually start to trust a little bit more in analytics. Because, I mean, it's 2018, and I know that there are a lot of fans out there who just don't want to believe in numbers and these deeper analytics of the basketball X's and O's and individual players. And I'm sorry, but like, there's a reason that teams are starting to do this, and it's because it works, and it's because these numbers mean something. The funny thing to me is that, as I just said, I'm optimistic that these hires mean that the Bulls are going to start looking closer at analytics to, you know, to determine the best moves for their roster as they're trying to become a competitive team again in the coming seasons. But you look at the two biggest things they did this offseason with the addition of Jabari Parker and keeping and giving a pretty handsome contract to Zach LaVine based on his previous performances. Neither of those guys have really glowing analytics as far as their numbers as individual players. So, yeah, hopefully the Bulls start paying closer attention to analytics, but the two biggest moves they made this summer were done with clearly not a whole lot of attention to analytics, because if they put all of their stock in that kind of stuff, they would see neither Jabari or Zach LaVine have great numbers when it comes to that kind of stuff.
That's an interesting point. That's a good point, too. As far as their free agent signings go and bringing back some of these quote-unquote guys that are supposed to be your cornerstone stars, I would counter that with the fact that they drafted Lauri Markkanen last year against what a lot of other people were saying that he was slow, that he was a pure scorer, but had a lot of deficiencies, and people didn't think Lauri Markkanen was going to be a guy that was going to be able to translate and turn into maybe a budding superstar in this league. Clearly, everybody was wrong, and I would say I would compliment that partly with analytics, and then same thing with Wendell Carter Jr. this year. I know we talked about how he didn't get the looks at Duke offensively that maybe we thought we would like to see in one season. But I think back-to-back drafts, you grab Lauri Markkanen, then you grab Wendell Carter Jr. and Chandler Hutchison. I think that does speak to the not only the evaluation of players and the scouting of the Bulls over the last few seasons, but it also speaks to their analytic game, too. It's like they know that they have to get smaller and they have to spread things out, and they've got to go to these lineups that have more athleticism at each position and not necessarily measure it by the eye test. And that's a good thing. I think if you tried to measure things by the eye test initially, you find Wendell Carter Jr. out of the top 10 as far as the NBA draft goes. Like, was Wendell Carter Jr.'s name even mentioned in the top 10 at the beginning of Duke's season? Or even for that fact, at the start of the new year in 2018? But I think the more people saw him, the more people saw his workouts, the more people looked through his numbers. That's kind of what skyrocketed his stock. And just from what we've seen in Summer League, I think that has come to fruition at least a little bit, that he's a player that can be part of that byproduct of analytic numbers. But then you can go to the opposite side and maybe look at Trae Young's numbers. And at least offensively, analytically, he's off the charts. Defensively is another story. But it can kind of go back and forth. But I think I would counter your point as far as, you know, not using the analytics to factor into what Jabari Parker can do or what Zach LaVine can do on this team, and counter that with their draft picks over the last couple of years and Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., where I think that they used it more to evaluate what would be great for this team.
Yeah, no, that's totally fair. And I think you and I have been on the same page for a while, basically ever since we did take Wendell number 7 earlier this summer, that we are very much in favor of their two most recent draft picks. And we believe in them as focal points of this rebuilding core. I'm there with you. And in that sense, yeah, maybe they did take a closer look at analytics because, you know, as you alluded to, you know, Wendell wasn't really the highest on anybody's board when it comes to the bigs. And it's largely because he had to deal with the fact that Marvin Bagley reclassified and all of a sudden became the focal point for Duke's offense. When really, if that didn't happen, you would have seen a whole lot more attention paid to Wendell Carter Jr. because he would have been the focal point of that Duke offense, or certainly one of them, had Bagley not reclassified and joined that team. So clearly the Bulls were paying attention to Wendell, even though he wasn't the guy at Duke. And what, you know, whatever Garpak's haters want to say, somebody in that Bulls staff was paying attention to Lauri Markkanen, even though they weren't projected to be in the projected, you know, 5-10 range of where he would be drafted before that Jimmy Butler trade happened, and they drafted him confidently. And obviously, there are two parts you know, there are two ways to build a roster: drafting well and keeping that drafted talent and adding talent in free agency. When it comes to their recent draft picks, I am confident, or at least optimistic, that analytics have been a part of those decisions. But the big money that they spent this offseason were on two guys, neither of whom they drafted, one who came over via trade and one who they signed as a free agent, whose analytic numbers are not good. That's what I'm saying. So, yes, hopefully these, you know, these members of this the scouting team and director of player personnel and all of these new roles with, you know, promotions from within, they start paying closer attention to analytics, but not just in the draft. I would also like them to do that kind of stuff when it comes to scouting talent on the free agent market that they are trying to recruit to come join this team, and when they are executing trades, to do the very same thing. Because the biggest moves they made this summer, if you're talking about money spent, came on two guys whose analytics are not good.
Crossing my fingers that maybe what we didn't see in the analytics over the first 3 years of Parker and Levine's career, that maybe there is future projections in those analytics that speak to something differently that we can't see already or previously on the court.
Certainly possible. But, I mean, you know, Jabari's career box plus minus is a minus 1.4. Levine's is a minus 2.1. And their true shooting percentage numbers, not great. Levine, career, 54. Jabari, career, 54.6. Like, when you start looking at some of those analytic numbers on those two guys, you know, optimism. Hopefully they can turn that around. They've both had ACLs. Jabari's had two. And they necessarily haven't been able to be a focal point of the offense in their respective, you know, pre-Chicago locations. And maybe they can build upon those analytic numbers. I'm just saying, right now, the Bulls chose to invest a lot of money in guys whose analytics are not favorable.
One more thing on these promotions real quick. So Brian Hagan, Steve Weinman, these two guys sort of been your core outside of Gar Foreman being kind of the head of scouting. These guys have been a part of the basketball operations, have been a core part of deciding whether or not and who the Bulls should be evaluating and who should they be taking in the NBA draft and also who they should be looking at in free agency. You mentioned previously that it is a little bit lazy to promote your guys, but I would also put that in a counterpoint as far as, like, if you find talent within your organization, you obviously want to promote them. And the only reason why this feels a little bit weird or feels a little bit normal, I would say, for the Bulls is because they've been known to do this. They've been known to keep it in the family, basically. And for me, these two guys that are getting promoted, well, then and also Jim Paxson getting promoted as well, these guys have spent almost two decades in the NBA with that kind of knowledge, I feel like, is decent to me. If you can use those two guys to compare maybe the last 10 years of draft picks that the Bulls have had, or evaluating the talent that they have brought in and what they've gotten out of those players, partly that goes to the coaches, but it also goes to the guys that are evaluating these players. You know, you can talk about the draft picks, or you can talk about guys that they've brought in the past handful of years that actually have turned out to be pretty decent. Like, the sticking point for me is always like Pau Gasol. Pau Gasol had, what, two of his best seasons of his career? One, for sure, his best seasons of his career. And partly that is like Bulls fans hammered the Bulls for not getting a top free agent and then having to go to the second tier free agents. And they did get productive value out of guys like Pau Gasol. And also looking at the draft, I know you were a staunch believer that the Bulls historically draft pretty well, and that's kind of their focal point. So that's why I'm kind of glad that these two guys are being promoted and are actually going to have more involvement as far as the decision making, as far as the talent that goes here and the talent that comes out of the draft maybe going into the future. So do you feel at all, what do you think Bulls fans feel like when they see promotions within the organization?
And I kind of touched on that on yesterday's show as far as what Bulls fans, skeptic Bulls fans, FireGuard Paxers, what they would feel about these promotions, because they play into a narrative that they believe, which is that the organization and the front office are lazy when it comes to making hires. it plays into that when you say, oh, well, they just promoted these guys that already work within the organization. And to your point, look, whether it's an NBA team, whether it's an NBA franchise or a Fortune 500 company, choice one will always be promote from within as opposed to going with, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Outside Hire. That's always the goal, to build the talent and trust of your employees, starting at the ground level and watching them earn their way up the company ladder. As opposed to going with an outside hire, that's always the preferred choice. But I'm just saying it, and look, and I'm not saying this is my opinion. I'm saying I think it's an opinion pretty common among Bulls fans, especially those who are skeptics of this front office. They see it as playing into that narrative of being lazy with their hires. Fred Hoiberg was a lazy coaching hire. Adding Doug Collins as a special advisor, lazy hire. Like that kind of stuff. And it also, like, I will say this. I'm not entirely against these promotions, and I'm not completely on that bandwagon of, oh my gosh, this front office, all they do is just hire the same people over and over and over. I think I'm somewhere in between those two points of view, but I will say I am a little curious and a little bit skeptical that this Bulls front office, especially Paxson and Foreman, are so convinced that they have all the people that they need and the best scouting talent and the best talent evaluation crew within their walls already, that they don't need to maybe go look for some of the up-and-comers on other teams across the league. Like, really? Are you really that confident in your staff? Because we didn't, I mean, all we heard was, here's the announcement, here are the promotions that we just made. Didn't hear anything about other candidates that were interviewed, if any at all. That's the thing that I wonder about.
One case in particular is Nate Lowenser. He was the head coach, the first head coach of the Bulls G League team back in 2016, and they kind of used that to evaluate what his head coaching skills were going to be like, and they ultimately promoted him to the Bulls bench. And now he's with the Bulls team, and they swapped places with a guy that was on the Bulls bench previously in Charlie Henry. So that's just one case where the Bulls are kind of using their G League team as a way to evaluate not only their players, but the people in their front office, and finding ways to see if they can take it to the next level and be a part of an NBA's front office. They did the same thing with their associate general and manager. He spent time as the GM of the Windy City Bulls and then now is promoted to the assistant GM of the Chicago Bulls. So those are just two cases where the Bulls are using their G League team really good as far as evaluating not only their players, but their front office as well. So kudos to the Bulls for you actually using their G League team to its fullest potential.
Yeah, and you mentioned Hagen, who, you know, gets promoted to associate GM after being assistant GM, who is also the, you know, he's been the general manager of the Windy City Bulls for the last, you know, two years, going on 3 years. So you like that connection. And also, similarly, the other guy who got a promotion last Friday, Miles Abbott, who got promoted to manager of minor league scouting and analytics. He's been in their analytics department for 5 years, served as the team's basketball operations coordinator, and his focus is going to be on scouting specifically in the G League. They're going to also have him look at some international professional leagues as well, but the bulk of his analytics scouting is going to be done in the G League. So that kind of goes in line with what you were saying as far as the relationship between the Bulls and their G League program, and not only the talent that they try to add to their G League team for, you know, either two-way contracts or just scouting and bringing into, you know, summer league rosters and training camps, but also other G League teams across the league. So hopefully we see a further development in that regard with Abbott.
We got to take a short break here on Locked On Bulls, but when we come back, we're going to talk about an interview Gar Foreman did over the weekend with a medical group on the radio. We just kind of want to touch on a couple things that he had said, because I think that they're important. One include Lauri Markkanen. So stay right here with us at Locked On Bulls. Be back in 60 seconds. Before we get back to the rest of the episode, just want to remind you, Bowling with Bobby Portis, September 8th. That's this Saturday, 2 to 6 p.m. at King's Dining Entertainment. If you buy your tickets in the next 24 hours, yes, that's the next 24 hours, you will be put into our contest to win an 8x10 autographed photo of Lauri Markkanen. So get your tickets today, 24 hours to be entered into that contest. If you've already bought tickets, you'll already be entered as well. 24 hours, buy your tickets right now if you want that autographed Lauri Markkanen photo. We'll be giving that away later this week. So 24 hours to buy your tickets. Don't miss out. Now back to the episode.
Welcome back to Locked On Bulls. Pat Pack and Jordan Malley hanging out with you on Tuesday. And before we jump into our next topic, which is a Gar Forman interview, always fun for Bulls fans, a quick shout out to our friends at King's Dining and Entertainment, located at 1500 North Clybourne Avenue in the heart of Lincoln Park on the north side of Chicago. It is our headquarters for Bowling with Bobby. It should be your football headquarters all season long. 222-foot bar, the longest bar in the city of Chicago. I've seen it. It's huge. It's awesome. Full-service restaurant and over 50 HD TVs. Not to mention their 16 pristine 10-pin bowling lanes, 4 billiards tables, air hockey, darts, and more. Excited to hang out with Bobby and a bunch of y'all at King's this Saturday. So with that, Jordan, Gar Forman went on some Chicago sports radio over the weekends, and always a fun time for Bulls fans when Gar gets to talk. We have seen less of it in the recent years. Essentially, since the Jimmy Butler trade went down, Paxson has retaken his role as not just the VP of basketball ops for this team, but the, you know, the president of being the face of the front office when it comes to interacting with the media. They kind of shoved Gar in a closet for a while, and he has recently, this offseason, he did an interview during a summer league game when he was sitting courtside. He did this interview. We're starting to hear a little bit more from Gar Forman again.
Can I say one thing really quickly about his interview back a few weeks ago? Actually, it's probably about a month ago during summer league. Everyone gave him shit for the shirt he was wearing, the red one with the black pinstripes.
Rightly so.
That shirt
was hideous.
I didn't think it was that bad, dude.
That shirt was hideous.
I really
don't
think it was that bad. And people were giving him crap, and I was like, actually, it's really not that bad.
That shirt should have been burned.
It's probably worth more than my paycheck in a month, so that's all I can say about that. But I didn't think it was that bad. But yes, Gar Forman went on Sports Medicine Weekly on 670 The Score and talked a little bit about what the Bulls are doing as far as their medical team goes, how they're getting players prepared, and he also touched on Lauri Markkanen quickly. And so I guess what I got out of this was it was a little bit of a better understanding of kind of how the Bulls medical team operates. And this is going to be important for Bulls fans this year, too, because you've got guys that are banged up, like guys that, you know, in handfuls. You're talking about Zach LaVine returning fully healthy this season from an ACL. You're talking about Jabari Parker returning from the second ACL injury in a full healthy season. Lauri Markkanen dealt with back spasms last year. Chris Dunn had a couple weird injuries, one to his finger, and then he had a concussion and smashed his mouth. And then you've got Denzel Valentine with the concerns with his knees and him getting scoped at the end of the year. Coupled with a bunch of other players, too. Like Cameron Payne still hasn't been fully healthy, and hopefully he comes back this season fully healthy as well. But there's a lot of things that the Bulls are concerned about injury-wise. So I thought it was good to kind of understand where their medical team is coming from, how they're evaluating players, and what they're wanting their players to work on. I think the one first thing that I got from this was Gar Forman talking about recent draft picks and what he feels like is most important for guys that they bring into the Bulls. And he's talked about how it's more of an overall plan, a 5 to 7 year plan, and that's how they evaluate players going forward. And he brought up something even more important than that, is guys that play 1 year and then bounce right from college to the NBA. And you see it, how players' bodies transform completely. So talking about Lauri Markkanen and Wendell Carter Jr., those guys in 1 year maybe didn't necessarily get the weight training and the physical endurance and the bodybuilding that the NBA is looking for, because college knows that they're only going to get 1 year out of them, so they can't throw a ton at them. But he brought up in cases like Lauri Markkanen, first of all, he said, and I'll let you guys listen to this too, Lauri Markkanen is fully bought into everything that they're doing as far as weight training goes and trying to get his body right for the NBA. And I thought that was a great point by Gar Forman, and more so kind of letting fans in and letting them understand that this isn't, you know, Bulls players go to one guy for this and they go to one for another. It's all super collaborative. And I think you can take that as far as the medical team goes and you can expand that to the entire organization. And I hope that's kind of the direction that they're on, is communication is the most important for this Bulls team. And I know they keep everything real close to the chest. and real tight knit. But to me, to understand kind of how the medical team trains these guys and what their progression looks like, he brought it up with Lauri Markkanen, and Lauri Markkanen just from year one to year two's progression is absolutely bonkers. And that makes me believe in the Bulls medical team and their training staff more than I think I ever have before.
Yeah, and the Bulls do have some consistency there when you're talking about the people that they have put in place to oversee the health of their players. I mean, their head athletic trainer, Jeff Tanaka, has been here for 10 years. He served, I'm pretty sure, 08 to 14 as assistant athletic trainer, and in 14 got promoted to head athletic trainer and has held that job for the last 4 years. And then they, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, but recently rehired and brought back Chip Schaefer to be the director of their sports performance. Chip Schaefer is a guy that goes all the way back to the dynasty years, being a guy who was taking care of physically Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, Horace Grant, Bill Cartwright, like those guys. So like they have people that they trust in those positions. And it's kind of unfortunate that especially some of the younger Bulls fans, and some of it is people like Fred who are like, I can't believe Tibbs played Derrick Rose, you know, 39 minutes in a random game in February. But there are also some skeptics who say, like, how is it that this team is just so injury-bitten all the time? Because it wasn't just Derrick Rose. It was Joakim with nagging injuries, and it was Luol Deng with injuries. They brought in Rip Hamilton at the back end of his career. He couldn't stay healthy. Carlos Boozer had nagging injuries throughout his tenure with us. So did Mike Dunleavy. And, like, so a lot of that is saying, okay, well, a lot of the guys you just named are kind of old, you know. Old NBA players don't necessarily have those healthy full 82-game seasons the way that that young players in their prime do. And we learned that Derrick Rose was just an awful, ugly, you know, exception who flashed physical athletic brilliance and then was proved to be a guy who was just very fragile. Bad knees, bad ankles, bad everything. So I don't necessarily think that the fans who want to put that on the Bulls training staff are necessarily looking at it the right way. I think the Bulls do have a lot of solid trust in guys like Tanaka and Chip Schaefer. And they, you know, part of it is luck. Part of the downturn of the Bulls championship window and the closing of the championship window was that they couldn't keep a healthy roster together. But that isn't necessarily entirely on the people working those jobs.
Completely agree. And I think it's partly the players' problem too. You know, the players got to buy in to being there, working out, getting healthy every single year. So I think it's just as important for the medical staff to be on point with the players as it is for the players to be on point with themselves. Like, if players don't go in there every single day trying to get better, you see they kind of get left behind. And there was questions about whether or not Derrick Rose was really committed to his first and even his second rehab stints, and whether you don't want to believe that or not, that's up to Bulls fans to really truly believe if he was 100% committed. But I think you're right. The Bulls medical staff, I think, gets an unfair shake because of the Derrick Rose injury, and that's really not on them, and it's not really on Derrick either. Like, you can only do so much as far as your body goes. Like, your body's going to tell you when you're completely exhausted, when you're done. And to try to reformulate what he had prior to those two injuries, I think was just, it was unfair expectations for Derrick Rose and unfair expectations for the medical staff too. But looking forward, I think I'm excited because it sounds like not only is the Bulls medical staff on board, but they've realized that guys are going to training to personal trainers. Guys are going to be around the country, around the world, trying to train in the off season. And those personal trainers have to be on board just as much as the Bulls medical staff has to be on board. So it's kind of nice to hear, even though, you know, after Jimmy Butler was traded and you heard the negative comments made by his personal trainer, it's kind of nice to hear that the Bulls are actually letting some of these guys in, letting these training staffs in that are sort of on the side. Like, you see Zach LaVine this summer working out with personal training staffs. Same thing with Lauri Markkanen. It's kind of nice to hear that those guys are let in and let in on what is ultimately the goal for each individual player. Outside of that, he did mention Lauri Markkanen. I want to play this clip really quick for Bulls fans because I thought it was interesting, and it's another reason why you should fall in love with Lauri Markkanen.
And one case in point, Dr. Nicholson, everyone's been talking about Lauri Markkanen, you know, one of the up for Rookie of the Year last year, and just had a fantastic season, has solidified himself as a starter for the Bulls now. And people say, oh, I saw it on Snapchat or Instagram, the way he's pumped up since the end of the season. Have you seen any of those pictures?
I have seen him. I remember the first game I covered last year was one of the first games of the season. And I was very impressed. He's a young man, what, 20, 21? Tremendous upper body. It's even bigger now. But what really impressed me, and Gar, correct me if I'm wrong here, I mean, his feet, his ability to move laterally. And I think as a young kid in Finland, he played soccer. Akeem Olajuwon, Nigeria, young kid, played soccer. Yeah. Akeem was a goalie.
Wow.
And you see those guys on the floor, there's a different way they move. You know, if you look at Lowry, he almost glides, you know, but with that upper body, you don't want to lose that quickness. And that's what Gar is saying. You know, we're treating the whole person. You don't want to take away that skill set, but, you know, 82 games. And if you're down close at the United Center, that is a vicious non-contact sport. I mean, there's a lot of rock and roll going on down underneath the basket. So Lowry clearly has the body to support that. But I was very impressed, and I don't know if that's one of the things that you guys saw. His ability to move and glide and his quickness is just kind of off the charts there, isn't it?
He's so mobile for his size, and I think you hit it on the head. It's almost like at times he glides, but excellent foot speed. You know, he's reactive. He's got good explosiveness. And the other thing you hit on, Doc, is that, you know, in putting on this weight, we want to make sure that his athleticism isn't affected in any way negatively. So that's what I was talking about, kind of a big picture view. We want to put on the weight, but we want to put on the right weight at the right places where it doesn't affect his athleticism. And Lowry, as you can see, you know, Cash, you mentioned the picture that was on Twitter. He is totally bought in. And we have, in the summertime, we have blocks where there's three-week blocks, and they go from block one to block two to block three, and it's a progression throughout the summer, you know, getting ready for camp in September. And he's bought in, which a lot of our young guys have. And to us, that's exciting because we try to create a culture where they're in there, there's a belief system in what our athletic performance people are doing. And then again, it's a process building them up so they can be as good at athletes, professional athletes, as they possibly can be. And, you know, when Chip and our athletic performance staff are putting these programs together for our young players, our medical staff is also involved. And you know, Brian Cole and some of the people he works with are involved also. And everybody has input in putting this plan together. And then it's explained to the athlete and his agent. And again, so everybody's on the same page. And a lot of guys now use their own personal trainers outside, you know, if they're traveling, et cetera. And we want them to be involved. So again, you know, you're not doing one thing when you're at the Advocate and maybe you're, you know, in Los Angeles for a couple weeks for one reason or another, and you're doing something else with your trainer. It goes back to what you mentioned at the very first, Cash. Communication, everybody involved, everybody on the same page. And that way this process can go step by step and we can maximize, you know, what these athletes are getting out of it.
Very interesting point here, Matt, that he brought up, that the hosts brought up, and also Gar Forman had touched on too. Did you ever think about the idea that Lauri Markkanen's background in soccer can actually play to a positive factor for his game in basketball? Like, I didn't think about that until now. And now I'm starting to think of some other big men. They brought up Hakeem Olajuwon, but also Joel Embiid played soccer all the way up till I think he was 16 or 17. Same thing with Thon Maker. Thon Maker was a soccer player too. And all these guys have tremendous movement, tremendous feet, and amazing athleticism, can move side to side quickly. And I never thought about that being one of the factors in why Markkanen maybe might be more skilled with his feet than maybe we initially thought. And so he brought up the fact that he played soccer, that type of athleticism they want to continue that type of athleticism with Lauri Markkanen. Not only that, but getting his frame stronger, and they've touched on that over this summer, but they said, you know, we want to make sure that the muscle that's added there
isn't going to affect his athleticism. And I think they're doing a good job monitoring it. And if you look at the way Lauri Markkanen looks now coming into training camp, it's ridiculous. It's night and day from the day he stepped on a Bulls court for the first time last year.
I mean, he looks like a peak conditioned physical specimen right now. He looks like a guy who added muscle to a frame that was kind of scrawny, but he didn't add so much muscle that it looks weird or out of place or that it will hinder his athleticism. And to the point about the soccer in Markkanen's background, I think it's great. And it's not, you mentioned a few others, and it might be surprising to see these, you know, 7-footers who have soccer in their background. Well, clearly they got growth spurts and said, oh, maybe I should play basketball instead of soccer. But when you talk about the footwork, when you talk about the fact that Markkanen coming into his rookie season compared to what people were saying about him in draft reports, he had better lateral quickness than most people were anticipating. He's still not a great shot blocker, but he showed his ability to recover on defense and get over and help on defense a number of times last season in ways that we didn't think we were going to see from him as a rookie. And to me, like you mentioned some of those other guys, Embiid and Thon Maker, Tony Kukoc was a big soccer player too. And you could, like, it's funny, during just like timeouts before they would go out to commercials, sometimes you would see Tony just like juggling a basketball as if it were a soccer ball on the sidelines. And Tony, to his right, you know, I think that helped him develop as a basketball player. And to me, this is the greatest example. And he's not a big, but it is the greatest example of a guy who was obsessed with soccer and then turned himself into a basketball player. Steve Nash, 2-time MVP. When he was in his athletic prime in his, you know, late 20s, early 30s, could anybody in the NBA keep up with Steve Nash and his crazy fast feet? Because the answer is no, and that came from his background playing soccer.
I think it's crazy, too, his passing ability with his hands, too. I think you can translate that from passing in soccer, too. He just kind of moved from being able to pass with his feet to being able to pass with his hands. That's a good comp, too. I never even thought about that as far as plugging Steve Nash onto a basketball court and saying, hey, look at how fast he is and how quick he is. And Tony Kukoc is another one that I didn't even think of. So those are good comps as well. One other thing, finally, before we get out of here, too, and this goes along with the Bulls training staff and just seeing guys before they actually get into training camp. I saw a picture of Denzel Valentine. Man, that guy looks like he's dropped 10, 15 pounds and kind of lost. I don't know. I wouldn't necessarily call it baby fat, but like he looks slender, looks thin, and looks in pretty solid shape this season. So I know people want to talk about the Drew League stint that he had this summer and getting embarrassed there, but physically, I've seen a handful of pictures now. Denzel Valentine, he looks in pretty solid shape this season too. So excited to see what he does in training camp in this upcoming season too.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that photo that you're talking about, and I think, you know, interesting, but I don't know. I want to wait to see what Denzel looks like, and we really don't know where he's going to fit into this rotation yet. When you talk about Jabari starting at the 3 and LaVine at the 2, and then having guys like Justin Holiday and Chandler Hutchison as Denzel's competition for that 2 guard and wing minutes off the bench, we don't know where Denzel's going to fit into that, but we do know that he believes he's good enough to be a starter in this league. So clearly he's going to come into training camp with somebody to prove and try to earn that spot ahead of Valentine ahead of Holiday and ahead of Hutchison. But as far as the morphing of Denzel's frame and maybe shedding a little bit, if it turns him into a more athletic player who's a little tougher to guard, as someone who maybe, as we've talked about, just kind of turned into a spot up 3-point shooter last season, it was that, or it was his weird fluky floater in the lane. If he shed a few LBs and can turn into a player who's tougher to guard and can actually maybe do some things off the dribble and blow by some guys because he's, you know, a little bit lighter on his feet, I certainly wouldn't be opposed to that, but I'm going to wait to see him in action before I say, oh, look at this brand new and improved Denzel Valentine because of one picture.
It's Thinzel Valentine now.
Oh, is that what we're calling him?
That's what we're calling him now, Thinzel Valentine.
Okay. Denzel Valentine, most improved player of the NBA season 2018-19. Here we come.
You heard it here first, Matt Peck with the scorching hot take. So are you becoming a Denzel Valentine lover now?
Said in jest. Just in case Fred is listening, we got to give him his jollies for the day.
Well, that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, Bullying with Bobby Portis, get your tickets today, just a few days away, Saturday, September 8th. That's this Saturday at King's Dining and Entertainment in Lincoln Park, 2 to 6 p.m. Bullying with Bobby Portis should be a whole ton of fun. Get your tickets today. Do not wait. We're looking forward to seeing everybody there. You can get them at eventbrite.com. Search Bullying with Bobby or Locked On Bulls. You'll be able to find your tickets there, especially on Twitter and Facebook. You can find them there too if you want to hit us up there. There's easy one-click links. You'll get it right to the page to buy your tickets. So don't wait. Do that today. Bowling with Bobby Portis this Saturday. Looking forward to seeing everybody there. We're live on Dash Radio, dashradio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on social media on Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls underscore Peck. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. And subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Or text and voicemail lines at 331-979-1369. Hit us up there with all of your voicemails and your questions. We do mailbag every single Wednesday, so get your voicemails in and your text messages for tomorrow's episode. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Be back tomorrow with a fresh episode. For Jordan and Matt, we are out. Deuces.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.